Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for today's consideration is recorded in the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 15 and 19. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." This is our text. Friends in Christ, caveat emptor, that well-known Latin phrase, "let the buyer beware," has new relevance in the land of Southern barbecue, where you can buy almost anything smoked and barbecued. Of course, you can go for beef and chicken, pick your favorite, pork. But then there are all those other delicacies, which I remember seeing advertised when I would drive around Jacksonville looking at all these offbeat little places. You could get barbecued, smoked alligator tail or raccoon, maybe possum. How about a little armadillo smoked? The 9-banded armadillo is dubbed the hillbilly speed bump because of so many killed on the highways. Better not to touch or eat them, though, because you could contract leprosy. The disease's terrible consequences are well known: skin sores, nerve damage. There are only about 150 cases of leprosy reported, diagnosed in the United States. Maybe you didn't even know that there were any. But each year, about 150. And many seem to be linked to contact with armadillos. They're moving north. Predictions are they'll be up in Indiana and Pennsylvania before long. Now, armadillos, of course, were not common in Israel, but lepers were. And today's text is about those well-known 10 lepers, 9 who were healed along with the other, but they forgot. They were unthankful. Jesus saw them, he heard them calling out, and he healed them. This is the God of grace, the God of mercy, the same God who reached out to us before we even thought about it. Consider the larger picture, the washing over the words, events, and contrasting stories in today's text. In one storyline, Jesus is taking his disciples to Jerusalem. So you find him saying things like this in about a chapter: "Behold, we are going to Jerusalem." But then in the verses preceding today's text, the narrator is taking us there as Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And every time we hear this text or read it, we are following along, just as are the disciples in our journey of faith. And when you look at it, in a few weeks, in our text, Jesus will be crucified. Only one chapter separates us from that short-lived, certainly, triumphal entry of Jesus, right, on the palm frond paved road going into Jerusalem. And after he goes and has that, what glorious opportunity to be praised, how short it is. But then we find him looking at that city as he approaches it and weeping over the city for the judgment about to come, because was just like the nine lepers. This is going to happen in a few weeks, but today we have the same thing occurring with them. It had rejected Christ. If you had known, even you, the things that make for your peace, Jesus said as he wept over the city and all the people in it, God's chosen people who did not acknowledge the Messiah. There are several stories in our text here today. There's the majority story, there's the minority story, there's your story, there's my story. The first is one of healing with the usual elements. You have a cry for help, you have Jesus' response, and you have them healed. And then, predictably, the lack of thanks, which is a leitmotif running through Scripture. And it reminds us, doesn't it, how sad of the reason for words like this in Matthew's gospel. Narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are a few who find it. For many are called, but few are chosen. That's not the gospel that you hear coming from the world around us, is it? Everybody's going to heaven. Not according to the Scriptures. All 10 lepers were called. God was looking for what? He was looking, if I may play upon the phrase, he was looking for a tithal wave of faith. You know, in the Old Testament, 10% was a tithe. That's all God got out of the group of 10. He wanted a tithal wave. He received one. There were only a few, one, who found the message. Nine chose to reject the call of the gospel. In his letter to the Romans, St. Paul includes this as a characteristic of the downward spiral of civilization then and now. Throughout history, although they knew God, Paul writes, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Unfortunately, we are all, by nature, like Jerusalem, like the nine lepers. And God is calling us here today to repent of our thanklessness. And God has shown us the place where, in fact, we find mercy, just as did the lepers. We find it at the cross. It was there that Jesus and all of our sins were nailed to the wood, including our thanklessness. And when Jesus rose again, he was through that act and through the gospel that has called all of us to faith, to have created in our lives that joie de vivre, thanksgiving. Like so many scriptural ironies, of course, it's the despised outcast in our text. Isn't that interesting? The non-Jew, the Samaritan, the outcast, who is the one who comes showing faith. And we can take great appreciation of the fact that we, as Gentiles, are foreigners. We, like him, were called not because we were the chosen people, but because God in his grace and mercy reached out to the entire world. God the Holy Spirit, through God's words, led him to ignore the majority opinion of the crowd and the majority opinion of his leprous heart. God's love to us, as Luther said, risks betrayal, and Jesus was betrayed by many who turned away, as did the nine. But the opposite of betrayal is what God has called us to and is calling us to today, to loyalty, to steadfast faith, and above all, to thankfulness. The Samaritan returned to glorify God, and notice, with a loud voice. There was no question about it. He fell at Jesus' feet. He worshiped him. He gave thanks to the one who had redeemed him. God had spoken one word to all of them: you're healed. But it was the word that he received here because he returned, that was the best word of all, because it was the word of forgiveness and everlasting life. Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. The Greek word translated here for well is really the same one that's oftentimes translated to be saved. Your faith has saved you. And it is the central message, isn't it, of the Scriptures. By grace are you saved through faith. God has given us this wonderful message, this wonderful salvation, and he wants us to believe him. One closing liturgical prayer in our service book that you use today for singing is this. O Lord, we render unto you our heartfelt thanks that you have taught us what you would have us believe and do. So let me leave you with a few further thoughts about what you can believe and do in keeping with the spirit of this text. There are four Sundays in Advent which what? Prepare us for Santa Claus, right? Christmas. There are six Sundays in the Lenten season preparing us for Easter. Tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah. If you count out 8 weeks from tomorrow, that's the Jewish New Year, you find that there are eight Sundays between tomorrow and Thanksgiving. Today's text enjoins us, doesn't it, to not only observe those 8 weeks ahead of us as preparation for Thanksgiving, but to use each day from here on to lead lives of joyous praise and thanks to our God who has saved us. That begins with thanks to God, but also it begins with giving thanks to those who have shown you love, who have been Christ to you. So I'm going to ask all of you today to think about, if you haven't called your mother or father lately, to call them up and to tell them thank you. Husbands and wives, thank you. Not being like the nine lepers. But of course, that's not the central message, but it's at the very spirit of what this text is about. But the central message to all of us is each day of our lives, and particularly today, tonight, when we're on our knees saying our prayers, to give thanks always, but particularly to God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reclaiming the holy joie de vivre, the joy of life that is ours through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.